Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting of June 23rd, 2015. I'm the Chair, Brian Edwards-Teeger, and I will ask our Secretary, Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay, Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Teeger. Brian Edwards-Teeger. Oh, did he just drop? Marcus Jeter, R. Paul Martin here, Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick. Serene Roberts. Barbara Whipperman. Oh. Well, that's five. But some people were on, and let me call it. Brian, are you here? Michael? Serene Roberts, Barbara Whipperman. Well, okay, we had six people, and it sounds like one or two of them have dropped. Okay, who's that?
Well, Serene's back,
and
okay.
And Lydia had to call back in because I disconnected.
Okay, all right. So we now have six, but Brian appears to have fallen off the call. Brian. And is Michael here? Okay. Since Brian was in the process of starting the meeting, we should go on, and he'll try to call in. And he had said if he couldn't make it, Michael Novick would take over. Michael's not here, so we'll wait for Michael. But we'll start this thing going. The first order of business will be the agenda. And the draft agenda that was sent out was call to order 5 minutes, agenda approval 5 minutes, minutes approval 5 minutes, then old business, A, the SCA motion referred from the PNB, 30 minutes, B, recommendations re-affiliates underwriting program, 30 minutes, five, new business, if any, 15 minutes, and adjourn at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Would anybody like to make a motion to make that it?
Brian's back on the call.
Brian's back. I move that be the agenda.
Sorry, Mr. Secretary, what did you just move? I'm afraid I have to catch up.
The agenda. I just made a motion to adopt the agenda, which I read.
Great. Thank you. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the agenda?
Bill?
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, can we also get a brief update on the status of the FY 2016 budget development at each station?
Where on the agenda would you like to place that item?
How about after minutes approval? It shouldn't take long.
Are you proposing a specific time limit on that?
10 minutes. Probably won't take that long.
Okay. The proposal is adding 10 minutes for status of budget development immediately after minutes approval on the agenda. Is there any objection to that?
Okay, so it would read update on FY16 budget progress. That would be the agenda item, right?
Sounds good to me.
And would you make this 3A or 4 or what?
3A, I guess.
3A.
Since 3A is minutes approval.
Okay, I've got it.
Is there any objection to that addition to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is amended. Any further changes to the agenda?
Bill again.
Go ahead, Bill.
Can we get a real brief update, 5 minutes or less, from John on preparations for the audit, the FY14 audit?
Yeah, that'll take about 30 seconds, actually. So.
Okay, can we give him a minute for that? I guess after the amendment I just made, after the updates on the FY16 budget.
If it's really less than a minute, John, why don't you just dish it out now so we don't have to fumble with the agenda process?
Sure. It's really extremely frustrating because to go to the most recent development, we've made a request to the folks at Armanino to allow us to set up a payment plan on our bill so that we can get approval to move forward on the audit. And I'm waiting for a response from Grant on that, and so far have not heard back. So, in other words, it's still at the same position it was, a couple of weeks ago. They were requesting payment of their $65,000 remainder of their bill before they start on 2014. And we don't have that money nor any prospects of putting aggregating a lump sum like that any time in the near future.
Okay. So that's what
not
John has to report.
Not good news.
Well, I have a question to ask on that, but this is really... what does the chair want to do?
Well, I think if we want to discuss it, then we should put it on the agenda.
Yeah. Could we make this a... okay, so Bill's thing would be update from the executive director on the FY14 audit, and we could make it for 5 minutes?
If you're making the motion, you can propose any length you like.
Well, actually, I'm sort of adding on to Bill's here. I say make it 5 minutes, and maybe we won't use all of that.
And where would you like to put it on the agenda?
Why not make it 3B?
Okay.
We've got a 3A.
5 minutes on audit status as item 3B, so that'll be following the budget status update with a time limit of 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that amendment to the agenda? Hearing none, that amendment's now incorporated to the proposed agenda. Any further proposed changes? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we now have an agenda for a meeting. We're on to minutes approval. Paul, I saw you had sent out minutes for our last meeting.
Right.
Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I move to approve the minutes of the June 9th meeting.
Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the minutes of June 9th? Hearing no changes, is there any objection to the minutes of June 9th?
I just need to abstain, please, Robert.
Are you requesting a roll call vote, Serene?
Nope.
Sorry, I couldn't make that out. Was that a no or a yes?
That was a no.
Okay. Then the minutes approved without objection.
If somebody wants to abstain, how do we, the next minutes at this point would not show a vote, and so there would be no abstention shown. Which, by the way, when we do the minutes, it only shows that there is an abstention, not who abstained. I'll point that out, too. So, I don't know, This is with a view of avoiding 20 minutes of argument about this at the next meeting.
In my book, an abstention counts as no objection, and it can be recorded as passed without objection. But if that does not reflect how Serene wants this week's meeting minutes to be, we'll take a vote.
Why can't we just note that there was one that I abstained?
Because that's not how these things work. It has to be...
Then let's vote.
Okay. Our call. Please call the roll.
Okay. The motion is to approve the June 9th minutes. Lydia Bazan.
Hello?
Lydia Bazan?
Oh, here. Yes.
Adriana Kasanov. Unmute, folks. Okay, we'll come back. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Yes.
Marcus Jenner, R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Abstain.
Barbara Wipperman. Okay, going back. Adriana Kasanov. Okay, not answering. 6-4-0 against, one abstention.
Things are approved. We are now on to item 3A, which is status of budget update. Unless anyone objects, we'll take this in a round, starting with the Bay Area. Our treasurer has been sick. Our business manager has been otherwise occupied. I'm not aware that KPFA has made any progress on producing a budget for next year. How about KPFK? Michael?
We had a meeting. We actually have a second special meeting of the Finance Committee scheduled for tomorrow with our new general manager, but I don't have any further details to provide regarding an upcoming budget. She's working from the previous year's data that we have and the current, I understand there's no template yet from the national office, so she's trying to construct something based on the actual expenses over the last 3 to 4 years to come up with projections for next year. But I haven't seen it yet.
KPFT, Bill?
We have a meeting tomorrow. We had a budget meeting. Again, we've been meeting every month. We happened last month and looked at a sort of a rough draft budget. Actually, it wasn't really it was a rough draft, and I talked to Dwayne today. I emailed to Dwayne, and he expects to have another version tomorrow for our meeting. So hopefully we will, the committee will hopefully approve a budget tomorrow. If not, I guess we'll have to schedule a special meeting so the LSB can vote on it in July. But so far we're on schedule for the LSB to approve our budget, whatever it is, in July. I anticipate that at least.
Bill, what day is your meeting in July?
The LSB meets on the second Wednesday. I'd have to look up the date.
July 8th.
That sounds about right, because the 4th is a Saturday, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Tony, do you know how W is doing with the budget?
As I mentioned, we just got an interim general manager. Neil Marcus resigned, and we got an interim treasurer. I'm surprised she's not on the call tonight. I gave her the information. But until we're going to have a meeting within the next week or two. So until we get all that together, we won't have any information on the budget.
Okay. If you pass your new treasurer's contact information to Paul, he can add her to the listserv for the committee.
Okay.
And then she'll get all of our agendas, so forth. Paul, what's the budget status at WBAI?
Well, today I was able to get the general manager to say he could meet with us on Thursdays. He'll be available on Thursdays, that's pretty much it so far. I've sent him the budget timeline. I have asked him to send us ahead of time his draft budget, and that's about the status of it so far. And I'm polling the local finance committee to see who can make what date so that we can set a date when we can have a quorum and have enough people there and all of that.
And the National Office and the Archives. John, has any budget preparation work happened yet?
Well, from the National Office, I know that Efren's been working on it, and my impression was that he's been talking with the other stations, too. I'm kind of puzzled about that there's not been at least the discussion of a template, if not an actual template to work with. But I will clarify that with him tomorrow. No, I haven't seen even the preliminary figures yet.
And what about the archive?
I have no idea about the archive, none whatsoever.
This is Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
About the archives, I know that Mariana is on vacation, so chances are
right.
Not very much is happening there.
That's a factor, yes, you're right.
Is Bill?
I think that does it for budgets.
I had a question. This is Bill.
Sorry, Bill. Either you're breaking up or I am, but go ahead.
Okay, I was wondering if John knows that whether the National Office would expect to have any change in their budget for the next fiscal year, because we have to work that into the individual station budgets regarding central
services.
Bill, can
you repeat that? I didn't catch you. You dropped out of the first part of your statement.
Sorry. Do you have an idea yet if the National Office budget will be different than last year? Because we need to work in central service payments into the individual station budgets.
Yeah. Well, Bill, the imponderable is the time, and maybe Lydia wants to speak to this, but if we're successful in hiring a CFO, as I hope and pray that we are, that would make a significant change in the budget.
Bill, are you using a voice over internet service?
Yeah, I'm on Skype. I use it for streaming also. Let me call in on my cell.
That might be better. Thanks.
Hello. Yes, this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, the personnel committee approved a number of things last Friday. So I'm moving ahead, starting out with the free posts of the job description and so forth, and amending the... Anyway, we're moving ahead with that. And the deadline for the submission is the end of July, so July 31st. So I would say, you know, our schedule thereafter is August will be busy and trying to complete that hire as soon as possible thereafter.
I think that Efren is working on the assumption that we will have to include a line item, a new FTE for, or a replacement FTE for the CFO's position, so I suspect that's in his projections. But I'll confirm that with him tomorrow.
Brian, are you still there? Okay, Michael.
Yes.
I think you may need to take the meeting over because Brian had said in his absence you should do the meeting, and it sounds like Brian has dropped out again, so maybe you should take it from here.
All right, let me try to reopen the agenda. All right. Yeah, in a second. So, I think I missed some of the changes to the agenda.
Yeah, the next thing at this point is the update from the executive director on the FY14 audit. And he already has said something about it. I think we should see if he wants to say more. And
yeah,
I have a question.
John, did you have more to add?
No, there's not really anything to add at this point. I talk or email with the folks at Armanino at least on a weekly basis, and we have a number of questions to ask them, and it's very awkward because they really have made it clear that they don't want to do anything to come to a settlement of our bill. Now, we've suggested, as I said, a time payment plan, but we've not heard back from that. They did discount the original bill somewhat, knocked about $5,000 off the bill, but it's still basically $60,000 plus.
This is Serene.
Art Paul, first act.
Okay. I heard Serene and then Art Paul.
Okay. So I'm wondering, I know a member from the audit committee had made an email proposal that each station be asked to advance $13,000, which would count towards central services, or where
right.
That's not possible, that
that KPFA be asked to make up the gap with the amount to be credited to their central services.
Well, two things about that, Serene. Yes, Efren and I both have been, actually Efren originates the email and I co-sign it with him to each of the five stations' GMs, asking them in the strongest terms possible to make at least a partial payment on their overdue central services. The same thing as if you say advanced $13,000, well, it still is basically central services fees that haven't been paid that's keeping our cash flow to the point where we can't even consider something like the bill for Armenino. I mean, if even a third of the amounts owed on central services by all of the stations were paid, we could pay that bill easily.
Okay, I heard somebody else get back on the call, possibly. Is that Brian? Or?
Yeah, it's Bill. Brian. Thanks
and
for
Bill, too. And I had a question. I want to be on stack also.
Are Paul for a question?
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, our Paul was there and on the stack already, and I think that was... sorry, I had a lot of beeping on my phone. I'm not sure it was mine.
I can take over if you want, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard Paul, and I also heard Bill. Was there anyone else on the stack before I heard the list?
No, that's it.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, so we still owe the auditors $65,000 for last year's, for the FY13 audit.
Correct, 2013.
All right. I had thought, I haven't looked this up, but in my memory was that that bill was going to have been paid sometime in the spring. I remember hearing someone saying yes, and that's getting paid. So I gather that didn't get paid.
It did not get paid, yes.
All right. Thank you.
Bill, you're next.
Okay, thank you. I hope I sound better now. I was calling in on a different line. I know the last thing I guess we heard about this also several weeks ago, a couple of months maybe, was that there still need to be more preparations needed at, I'm not sure which stations, at least KPFK, maybe other stations, because Armenino didn't want to start on it and then have to stop again. That's happened in the past.
Right.
And that,
yeah, those have been proceeding, and Apace and Efren tells me that they're making very good progress on that. It's basically the interdepartment reconciliations and some invoices still need to be entered into Great Plains, but he says that the progress has been good, and I think they're fairly close to being finished with the preliminary work and preparatory for Armenino. So when Armenino gets ready to go, they should have a relatively smooth ride compared to 2013.
Okay, so you think that'll be finished soon? We'll be ready. Whenever.
Yeah, I think so.
We can get the money to pay Armenino.
That's the missing link is the money to some kind of an agreement with Armenino to hopefully. I mean, the best outcome would be they're agreeing to a time payment plan, but so far they've not responded to that suggested request.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else on the audit? I have one final question, John. Have they told you anything about how much lead time they would need to schedule the field work to start on the audit?
I don't know. We met with them, a few weeks back, but what they did say was that that if Pacifica were able to have the requested preliminary work completed, the entire audit could be done in 2 to 3 weeks, which would be wonderful. It might get us back into the good graces and some money from CPB.
All right. Well, I guess the parting note I would leave is my understanding is that after June 30th, our potential CPB grant amount diminishes by 1/365th every day we're late to the audit.
That is correct.
That would be about $2,000 a day for the network. So,
yep.
Begging, borrowing, or stealing the money to get the audit started sounds like a good option if everything else is in place to pull the trigger. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which...
Can I make a motion?
Yes, Serene.
I move that... yes, I know, the math doesn't work, but I move that KPFA be asked to advance the... You know, advance one-third of the money due. I don't know what the terms of the proposed payment agreement are, but that KPFA be asked to advance one-third of the money due in the hope that that will get the FY.
You know, Serene, let me just volunteer that I think that requires a motion. KPFA has been asked to advance a lot of money for a lot of purposes over the past couple months and has done so every time. And I'm sure if it will get us a six-figure CPB check, management will be more than happy to move that along. But any motion coming out of this committee has no force till it moves through the national board, which is going to be weeks from now. So, rather than take time with a motion, I would just...
I would like to second it.
Okay.
This is
fair enough. Then far be it for me to impose.
Thank you.
Paul, did you get the language down?
What I have is that KPFA be asked to advance one-third of the money due for the FY13 audit.
Yeah. Okay. I think if that's voted as the sense of the committee, then I'll be happy to convey that sense of the committee to Quincy. No problem with that.
Any objection to that motion?
This is Bill. I have a question.
Go ahead, Bill.
How about the other two-thirds? Because if there's no money,
that's my question.
To pay it, then one-third won't help much.
Yeah, exactly. We've been trying, as I said earlier, we've been trying every week religiously to Dunn, and politely, but maybe it should not be so polite, but to Dunn each of the stations for partial payments on their due central services, and without save extremely limited results.
This is Lydia.
Yep.
Go ahead, Lydia.
John, so what is the minimum, the arrangement, although, like you said, they haven't responded, so what was that minimum amount?
Well,
the first installment amount or whatever they might...
probably if they said they were willing to discuss it, I think that we would come back and suggest something in the range of $5,000 or $6,000 per month.
Oh, okay, but right now it's at 60?
Right now it's 62 and change. Grant and his partner did agree to do some further discounting of it, but basically it's like $62,500.
Okay, so just a clarification. Serene, did you say a third, or did you not give a fraction? Am I dreaming?
I said a third.
That's what I thought.
But, you know, I amend myself to two-thirds.
Well,
and then, right.
No, I was going to say I second the third.
I know, but it sounds like that.
Wait. Let the chair assign the floor here.
Okay.
Serene, you wish to propose an amendment?
Yes, one half.
Okay. The amendment is to go from one third to one half. Paul, do you have the proposed amendment?
And this is Lydia, and I second that amendment.
No seconds required in committee?
No seconds, right. Correct. Okay.
Paul, do you have the language?
I have, yes, make it one half, which would make the motion read that KPFA be asked to advance one half of the money due for the FY13 audit.
I'd like us to add the language to be considered advanced central service payments, or towards their central service payments. I'm sure they're pretty far ahead now, but still.
Paul, so that would be a comma at the end of that sentence, and then as an advance on central service payments. Got it?
Yeah, I have to be considered as advanced central services payments.
Okay. Is there any objection on swapping in one half? Hearing none, that amendment's incorporated into the motion. Is there any objection to appending the language as an advance on central service payments? Hearing none, that amendment is now incorporated into the motion. Is there any objection to the underlying motion? Hearing none, that motion is now adopted. We are done with the audit.
Yeah, Brian, if you could arrange to have that language emailed to me, I'll meet with Quincy tomorrow morning.
Okay. Paul, you'll send out motions approved at the end of tonight's meeting?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm not in a position to take it down. Thank you. All right, we're on to the WBAI, the motion originating from WBAI regarding subcarrier fees. Serene sent out revised language for this committee's consideration. It looks a lot cleaner and less antiquated than what had been hanging out in the PNB's agenda, so without objection, I'd like to take that up as the motion for consideration. Does everyone have a copy of it?
Does anyone
require a reading of the motion?
Mr. Chair, for the stream, we probably should read it. However, there are crossouts, so I'd like to know what exactly those mean.
The crossouts represent the language that is being replaced. I thought it would be easier for folks to see the changes or work with it if they could see the actual changes. That's why the track changes have...
Tony, for a point of information.
What's your question, Tony?
I'm wondering if the executive director, Mr. Prophet, once Serene finished reading the motion or motivated, could give a report as assessment of this, what the executive, the central office assessment is of this motion.
Certainly. Let's get clarity on the language, then we'll get to the substance. Paul, are you able to read it with the read around the strike?
Yeah, give me 1 second to write this stuff down. Hold on. Okay. The motion is, be it hereby resolved that the WBAI Local Station Board recommends, I'll read it. Be it hereby resolved that the WBAI Local Station Board recommends to the Pacifica National Board that it approve a policy that 90% of SCA rental fees due as of October 1st, 2015, for use of any station's sidebands shall be credited retroactively if necessary to that station's current central services accounts and 10% to the national office with copies of all existing contracts being submitted to the respective general manager and local station board and to the PNB within 45 days of its passage of this motion, and that an accounting of all SCA-related income and expenses since October 1st, 2013, including billing and payment of legal and collection fees and maintenance and upgrade costs and any other expense be submitted to the respective general manager and LSB and to the PNB within 90 days of its passage of this motion, and further, that pending and future contracts are to be signed by both national and local management with adequate and reasonable submission to the respective LSB and to the PNB for advance review and feedback.
Okay, that is the motion. I'll ask Serene to motivate, then I'll ask for feedback from the national office, then we can get into debate and revisions. Serene, go ahead. Serene, are you still with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, great. The so-called sidebands, or the subtariffs, the Subsidiary Communications Authority, I understand is what it's probably called, are a channel that works off of any station's regular antenna. So we're 99.5. We have two subcarriers at this point. And people using a special radio that has a special I don't know, switch in the back. I've seen them work, but I don't understand the technology particularly, are able to broadcast. BAI currently rents, I don't know how much we're getting, but we rent two of those sidebands. The monies that have been coming in for the past, I think maybe the past 15 years or so, generally goes to the national office, does not go to the station. I understand it goes to the national office. I understand it helps with the bills. I understand that, in fact, it has the effect of reducing central services all around because of this chunk of money, which used to be almost $1 million at one point and is now, I think, roughly, what is it, $350 per year. That fills a gap in the national office budget, thereby reducing, as I said, everyone's central services. I think it's fine that the money continue to go into the national office, but I think that stations, individual stations, who pay the cost of maintaining their antenna should be given full, nearly full, 90% credit for those monies that come into the national office, and that those monies would then offset the individual stations' central services rather than everybody's central services. I don't think all the sidebands are worth the same amount.
Okay. John?
Well, I mean, the net result will be a reduction of funding to the national office, and our cash flow as it is literally paycheck to paycheck and bill to bill, things like the insurance payments and so forth. I mean, sure you can do that, but until central services stop being a rolling and growing debt from stations, it'll basically end up hurting the already limited ability of the national office to pay bills.
This is Lydia.
Bill for the stack.
I've got Lydia. Bill, who else? Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Indiana.
I fully support monies that belong, that are derived from its source, that it go to, I agree with the sense of the motion, which is that it should go, be credited to the individual stations. I think, however, that then the whole basis of reducing central services for the individual stations would by necessity have to be revisited. It was certainly a praiseworthy experiment. We lowered central services for all the stations so as to, first of all, be more realistic and that you're not expecting, more than you're actually going to get. So that's part of it. But by the same token, as we said, that the needs of the national offices, that budget item was based on including this item, but to me it is more reasonable for that to be credited to the stations, but we have to revisit then the nature of central services for the next budget. I don't think this can be done immediately, and then that would be a necessary discussion at the next meeting. And of course, I think in terms of the cash flow, as Serene said, the money would still be going to the national office as it is right now, but in terms of the bookkeeping, it would go toward all of these chunks that the stations owe to their respective station, as I understand it. How to clear a room. Did we lose Brian again?
Maybe so.
Michael?
Okay, Adriana was on the stack. I don't remember who else I want to add myself.
Bill.
Okay, Bill, Adriana, and myself.
Yes. Well, not me.
Bill and...
Yeah, both.
Bill still on?
Oh, okay. For me, all right. Yeah, so thank you. Well, I guess I'd like to add on to what Lydia said. I think, if all the stations have been paying the central services payments, then I would, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I, in principle, I like it, the idea, except that, you know, it's, the stations don't pay all the expenses. And I know, for example, WBAI, the National Technical Director, has done a lot of the maintenance for the SCA, and I think their engineer has also been doing it, but without pay, as I understand it. I'm not sure the details. And, you know, the contracts are, written and negotiated by the national office. This, you know, there's some work involved, in, at least initially, when that was done. And I guess I just can't see doing this until we get caught up on central services payments. And I don't know when that's going to be, because I just can't see it will strangle the national office to cut, you know, this this final remaining sources of cash flow for the national office. And even though KPFT is in this situation, I mean, we've been making our central services payments, but, and I'd like for KPFT to be able to keep our part of this, but I can't support it right now because the national office needs the money. And I think, you know, we could, I think we should not look at this until we get the central services payments under control. I think that's the first priority, and I think it would be irresponsible for us to do anything else. So, well, I'm going to move the table. I'd like to hear what the other people say. So go ahead.
If I might make a
question. Next up, I have Adriana.
Oh, go ahead.
Did you want to make
Adriana?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I believe that the destination bid you asked something that Lydia already explained before. I mean, nobody is asking for that money going out of the national office. That's still going to the national office. It doesn't affect the cash flow because the money is there. The only thing that is being asked here is to credit the stations, because basically the idea is that belong to the stations. The only thing that we would do is reduce the debt. Slowly, the debt that the stations have from their central services. I think that is very clear. It doesn't affect at all the money that is coming to the national office. And I think that the idea of this motion is exactly that. Everything will keep going to the national office. It's only a matter of accounting. Put it to the rightful one. And I think that it's the same with KPFT or with all the other stations. If you need to pay your central services and you still didn't pay the whole amount to the national office, well, that amount that comes from there will be solving part of the debt that the station has with the national office. I think that doesn't affect at all the cash flow. I mean, this is kind of, a mix of terms here. I don't understand that part. Okay? Thank you.
Could you put Serene on the stack, please?
And okay. Lydia back on the stack.
And Bill, right, I had myself, and then I have Serene, Lydia, and Bill. And I thought I heard John Prophet trying to respond to something.
Not necessary at this point.
Okay.
Okay, I've got Michael, Serene, then Lydia.
Oh, you're back on, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so to me it's hard to discuss this in the abstract without having actual figures. The main point is that this amount of cash that's coming in will continue to go to the national office, but it will be credited towards the central services payments of the stations. And since we've changed the formula for central services to basically have it cover what is not otherwise covered by other income to the national office, the net effect would be probably just to increase the central services payments required of the stations. So the two factors that are at play is really how would it affect each individual station? And it's hard to know because central services for the stations are still related to the average of the station's income over a period of years, and these SCA payments, presumably, but I don't know, vary from station to station depending on the market that they're in or something. It's only speculation on my part because I haven't seen any of these contracts. So I think it's kind of fruitless to have an abstract discussion about it. If an individual station is positively or negatively affected by it, and some other station is also positively or negatively affected by it, then they would have an interest in doing it or not doing it. But as a general policy, it sounds to me like it would be a wash, all other things being equal, because any amount that is reduced as other income to the national office will have to be made up by additional central service payments by the stations. So it seems like unnecessary accounting unless there's some hidden cost I'm not aware of, or as I say, a differential between the stations because of the markets that they're in and the value of the SCA contract.
Thanks.
That's all.
Serena, Lydia, I'm going to throw myself on stack before we go to second round. I think it's pretty clear to me where WBAI is coming from. As a station, their biggest expense is their monthly transmitter rent. And it is higher than any other station. It's the cost of doing business in New York. And I think we can probably safely assume that if they have two SCAs under contract, there's also more income coming in off that than at any other station in New York. But it doesn't get credited to them. So to me, it seems like kind of a basic question of aligning incentives and fairness. And the question is how we carry it out without blowing a hole in the national office budget. About $300,000 out of the national office budget. If we offset it by an across-the-board increase in central services, then for those stations that aren't paying their central services, the national office would just hold on to the FCA piece and count them against the central services. It wouldn't be very different than now. But for those stations that have been keeping paid up with their central services, which I think is only A and T at this point, that would actually be a net loss of cash to the national office. And it would create winners and losers among the stations. I think the biggest loser right now would be WPFW, because John O'Mella told me they lost their SCA contracts when they were having transmitter trouble and haven't gotten back under contract yet. So I think we can do two things. We can either suggest an across-the-board central services increase right now as an offsetting measure, or we can request more detailed information on the FCA contracts by station, and then roll that into our discussion the national office budget when we have a draft before us and have a sense of what the central services should be. Or we could tell the national board that we think it's a bad idea. But as I said, personally, I'd like us to find a way to make it work without breaking the national office in the process. But I do think it makes a kind of intuitive sense from a point of view of fairness. Next up, I've got Serene, then Lydia.
Okay, thanks. So I don't know where the money that $300,350 is currently coming from. But I know the numbers were significantly higher in previous years, and I think that if all our stations were digitized, then our HD bands might be worth even more if we decided to rent those out. But for example, KPFT, you know, as far as I know, has no SCA income coming in. However, they get the benefit of reduced central services because of the SCA money coming from the other sources. That's, you know, we need to, and it's not a matter of starving the national office. That has never been the intent. The intent was, as others have said, so I won't go into detail, is giving stations the benefit for the increased costs that come from their antenna. I think we actually need to, which is why I want the contracts to come to the PNB and the LSP. I saw a national report going back a few years where the national tech said that they had negotiated sideband contracts. I don't know what that's about, but I don't understand how that can be a one or two employees job as opposed to the board or the national, you know, or the ED or SEC attorney or any of that. So this has been a source of concern for me for some time. The language in the motion specifically says effective October 15th, retroactive if necessary, so that if, in fact, we cannot, and I would hope that we can make the necessary adjustments, if we cannot do it by October 1st, whenever we get to it, it's retroactive to October 1st. And I would actually, well, I expect that after this motion passes that we'll get the information and the PNB can take it further. But absolutely, stations need to benefit from what they're paying. Thanks.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. That was largely what I was going to say, but also to Serene's point about how it wouldn't, I mean, or whoever made the point that it doesn't affect the, it wasn't Serene, the cash flow, is that it does for some of the reasons that actually that Brian raised, which has to do with those stations in particular. I mean, it would be WPFW and also TNA are current with their central services. It would obviously help WBAI and KPFK, at least on paper. But no, but in the real sense, the debt is obviously not as severe. But I agree with Brian that we have to look at all of it. And while we're at it, look at how we might be able to make a recommendation as to how these can be maximized. They're clearly being underutilized. I don't know, maybe they are being fully utilized, but we need more information. But Serene is clear. Her motion is addressing October 1st. So we do have time to consider these aspects, but I do think we should have those figures before us and know more about what it is we're voting on and come up with a recommendation of how it can be offset for those instances that it needs to be.
Okay. Anybody else on this?
Good. We're remaining
with
Bill.
Okay. Bill and who else?
Our Paul for Stack.
Bill and our Paul. Who else?
I'd like to get on it too, please.
I've got Bill, then Paul, then John. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I agree with Lydia and you, Brian. That I think we need more information first. And also, I just want to say that I think a clarification is needed in the first sentence or so of the motion. What Serene was reading, what you said makes sense about this retroactive, what retroactive means, but it's not clear from reading the motion what retroactively, if necessary, would be. She just said it would be retroactive to October 1st, but the motion doesn't say that. So I wasn't sure how far retroactively it would apply to. But, yeah, I just can't support this until we see what the plan is for funding the national office. And with it already hurting so much that we can't even pay for the audit, I just think it would be really irresponsible for us to consider this until we get the some sort of plan for funding the national office in place, and ideally wait until the stations are making their central services payments. And by the way, KPFT does have an SCA subcarrier, and so we do produce income from that. But we do maintain our equipment. But I'm pretty sure that some of the national office staff do maintain, or at least partially, both the WPFW and WAI SCA equipment and other stuff. So I don't think it's true that the station's taking care of all the expenses by themselves.
Yes, that's my comment.
Paul Martin is next.
Yes. This all came up some years ago, and I remember because the stations used to get their SCA income, and then the PNB voted that the national office would get it. And so that was a change, and at that time I thought that was a very bad thing to do, and for various reasons, not all of which we should get into here. And I really would have really supported this idea then. Right now, things have changed, and I'm not sure I support this. I agree that we need to know more. We have a different Pacifica right now from what we had years ago. We have a different media situation right now from what we had years ago. The subcarriers are not as attractive as other technology these days. They're kind of the subcarrier is kind of an obsolescent technology. We also need to know specific information, because I remember some years ago people were talking about the SCA income, and we were told, well, it doesn't really matter, because at WBAI, the entity that was renting out one of the subcarriers hadn't paid its bill in 2 years. So I think we need to, you know, really see this thing in what we've got. What's it going to cost? What will the effect be? And we need to really nail it down, right? We cannot, as someone else said, do this in the abstract at this time, because Pacifica is too tight at this point in time. So I think we need to get information, specific information. What are the SCA contracts saying happens? Are they being paid? Are the fees being paid? Who is doing the maintenance? And all of this kind of stuff, so we can make a dollars and cents determination by looking at the actual numbers. And I think that's what we need. That's it.
Sorry, final person on the stack is John, and also myself on that.
Oh.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah.
I have some actual figures to give you. I just said Efren is still here working, as he does every night, so I had him pull while we were having discussion. Right now, I actually do not have an answer as to, you know, if anybody at the different subcarrier contracts is behind on their payments or not. But here are the contractual amounts. The total right now, the annual total for Pacifica subcarriers is $276,000. The monthly total is $23,000, and it breaks down like this. The big one is a $10,000 monthly contract for KPFK, and that's by itself is $120,000 total contract revenue for the subcarrier at K. The other stations, BAI, has two subcarriers, one for $4,000, or an annual total of $48,000, and a second one for $3,500 a month for an annual total of $42,000. KPFT, I believe Bill is a brand new contract. He actually talked to Duane about this since the HD rental from Rice for KTRU has gone away. I believe this is another HD2, not a subcarrier per se, but it's $3,000 a month for a $36,000 per year total. KPFA has the $2,500 contract for the annual total of $30,000, and I mentioned the KPFK. KPFA recently lost. Efren tells me the one radio Haiti dropped out of the business, so they're no longer in the total. But that sort of gives you an idea of the contracted amount of income to Pacifica stations from subcarrier leases. The other quick comment I want to make is about the cost to stations. It is negligible. There is no additional quote-unquote maintenance cost to the transmitter or antenna for doing an SCA transmission. The SCA encoder is a small box that goes into the rack next to the transmitter, and it feeds the SCA signal into the end of the transmitter, and it's then goes up the entire transmitter route through the coaxial cable to the antenna, and it's broadcast. And typically, the maintenance is literally once every year or so, coming and doing a physical exam of the box to make sure it's working properly. They're pretty foolproof, so the actual maintenance costs are quite negligible. Any questions?
Michael is next.
Michael.
Is there a significant utility cost? I mean, is there additional power that's being used because of those?
The power for the SCA generator is literally about the same as a microwave oven. It's not, you know, compared to the 25 to 30,000 watts of power consumed by the actual transmitter. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction.
Thank you.